So yeah, Paul, you just spoke on TEDx, you told us about your leaving the internet project. Why the hell did you leave the internet for a whole year?
It was a lot of reasons. The original idea came...
There you go.
Thank you.
Cheers.
The original idea came from a desire to just educate myself. I never went to college or university, and so I just wanted to kind of teach myself and read some books, and I had some writing projects I wanted to get done. And so I thought, if I use all my free time, all my time is spent on the internet. If I quit the internet, including my job is on the internet, if I quit the internet, I would have unlimited free time. And the other reason was just that I felt like the internet was maybe sort of changing me, or it was defining me, or it was just too much internet. I was frustrated. I was really mad at the internet. I just felt like I couldn't get away from it. I couldn't stop using. I couldn't stop emailing, or I couldn't stop receiving emails that needed to be answered. And so it just felt like it was asking too much of me, and I wanted to be able to quit it and get away from it.
What is the mood which came up very quickly, or was it a decision which...
The decision happened relatively fast. I think the feeling developed slowly over time, which originally I thought maybe was a dissatisfaction with my job. I'd been writing about technology for about 6 years, and I thought maybe I was just tired of it. One evening... probably in late 2011, I came up with the idea, and I started thinking about it, and then it became just the obvious choice. For some reason, it's just like, I have to leave the internet, and I was about ready to almost leave in about March, and I was going to move home with my parents and quit my job and stuff, but then I got an offer to stay with The Verge to write for them about the project, and so that's why I left in May, which was...
Yeah. Okay, then that starts the project, and The Verge was on your side in the project, or and document your off time, or what was part of The Verge?
I'm the founding editor of The Verge.
Ah, okay, yeah.
And I was a senior editor, and I just basically walked up. I didn't walk up. I asked my boss to go to lunch with me, and I told him I was quitting my job because I was going to leave the internet. And he was very supportive, and but as we continued to talk about it, because I never conceived of the idea of working for an internet website while I was off the internet. Part of it was just to get away from everything. But while we talked more about it, and it seemed like a very good article for The Verge. The Verge is a technology publication that's very much about the intersection of technology and culture, and it seems that there's something, a very strong sense in our culture that, at least in American culture, that, you know, the internet has gotten to be a too big of a part of our lives, and does Facebook bring us together or not, you know, and we have all these social tools, but are we really more with each other, and we have all these productivity tools, but are we really more productive, and so... it's something that everybody's thinking about, and so it turned out to be a natural thing to write about for The Verge. And I'm really lucky that I had a job for that year, because there are a lot of jobs that I'm qualified to do that don't require internet use.
You spent your days on the off time also on the job and the whole year, or what do you? Get more free time.
More free time. I kind of got to make my own hours. I still did the podcast with The Verge.
Okay.
We had a studio, so I just walked into the studio.
My internet.
I know it ended up on the internet, but I wasn't using the internet. And I also worked on some journalistic projects for them, some longer form pieces. It was hard for me to do research, for sure.
Yeah.
But I got a couple big pieces I'm pretty proud of. I wrote this piece I really like about Photoshop.
Yeah.
Sort of the evolution and history of Photoshop. And that was one of those things. I was in LA and I crashed at a friend's place. I wasn't using the internet. We were just talking, and he's an engineer for Adobe. And just kind of hearing his story, and that kind of turned into a story that I wanted to write. but it was a big hassle to do journalism without the internet. And I'm very grateful to the PR people who worked with me to give me the information and the access data that I needed to write that story. And
so yeah, some people which are the connectors between the internet and you.
No. I didn't ask people to use the internet for me. So it was about getting stuff straight from the source and from original data and being able to interview directly. And that's why it was more difficult to do journalism, but I'm also proud of some of the journalism I did do because I couldn't get any of it from the internet, and all of it had to be firsthand. And I spent so much, I was a blogger for so long. And that's very much about reading something on the internet and then repackaging it for your own audience. Yeah. And there's a lot of value in that, but at the same time, there's something valuable in getting an original quote, even if that fact already exists somewhere as a true thing. Hearing it directly from the source is different and maybe puts it in a different context and it makes it feel different or makes you understand it better. And so I was really happy to do that, as hard as it was. But I did not do many journalistic projects. I wasted a lot of time.
Yeah. And what was the main thing what you learned in the year, or what was the biggest benefit for you would you take from your off time from the internet?
The whole experience?
Or one part which it's now extremely important for you, which you didn't expect to get Nana to get used to it.
I should have a better answer for that by now. I think there's a lot of little things. I think the way I see it is that my hypothesis was that the internet was changing me and it was making me into this person that I didn't like.
Yeah.
And that wasn't true. It
wasn't true.
It was not true. Yeah, okay. My flaws and failures as far as the things that I find frustrating and the things with productivity that I have troubles with existed just as much then. You know, before I was frustrated that I was getting so many emails, and off the internet I was frustrated I was getting so many phone calls. Before I would ignore the emails, now I would ignore the phone calls. And so I realized that it was very much this was my own problems, and I couldn't blame the internet for them. But in that sense, it actually made it a good experiment as far as the wrong hypothesis. But I learned something through that, was that it is my fault, it is me. Now I know better what and who I need to change, and that's myself. But it also gave me good perspective on a better idea of what's valuable. And I think it's really good to approach the internet with a knowledge of what parts of it are valuable to you, what parts you can maybe do without, because oh gosh, so I can't do without this. It's too valuable. The internet is limitless, and one person can never consume all of it. So you ultimately, at some point, have to decide what part of it or what parts of it you're going to concentrate on. Otherwise, you're just going to sit there and just click on things and read things, and it might be interesting and entertaining, but it's not necessarily what you want for yourself and what you want as far as growing in knowledge. And so by understanding better what my priorities are, which are mostly around people, I really learned that my most value is my friendships and my family, that I want to use the internet for those things most of all. And that's the most important thing to me, is using the internet for that. And if my usage of the internet is interfering with a personal conversation or a personal relationship or something like that, then what I need to change is the internet. I don't need, so I have a better idea how to balance it, I guess.
Okay. So actually you balance more between using the internet and don't using the internet, or just the way you...
Or using it, but using it for the right reasons.
Yeah. But you don't take totally off times from the internet?
Not anymore.
Okay, okay.
It is... because I'm sort of practiced in not using the internet, it's relatively easy for me to leave my phone behind. Yeah. And it's nice, or I can turn it off if I want to, and I can ignore it for a while. Yeah. And I'm not as tethered to email. I'm definitely not as tethered to Twitter, which I'm becoming okay with the fact that I'm not going to be able to read everything that happens on my Twitter timeline.
Yeah.
I can just let it pass me by, check in a few days, see what's happening. And yes, I probably missed something, but I've decided that's okay
because I'm doing something else that I prefer
to do.
Okay, cool. So for me, I'm just wearing a Fitbit band for a few days and got a paddle, and I'm always such connected. But I was in Canada for a week ago, and we stayed in a little house for a week out on a lake, and it was a very bad connection, so no mobile connection, just a poor Wi-Fi connection in the house. And I left my phone the whole day in the house, and I'm with my brother on the lake. And yeah, it was great. But I can't imagine to put off the internet on my daily life. I'm also working in a web agency,
right.
and yeah, that's kind of complicated. To imagine. To get totally disconnected.
No, it's not a reasonable thing or a logical thing or a useful thing to do, and I wouldn't quit the internet again either. Even, you know, for a week probably, I don't think I could make it. I think that there's something special about the fact that it was an experiment and people were paying attention.
Yeah, okay.
And I was reporting, you know, I had.
And you get a lot of attention from the beginning because you were well-known blogger.
Right. Yeah. So I had sort of a responsibility to everybody I told that I was not on the internet to stay not on the internet. And ultimately, if I had cheated, I would have only really been cheating myself. Like, you know, like I'm sure I could have. I just didn't. As long as I didn't tell anybody I was on the internet, then I would have been fine. But I did not use the internet for a year. And it wasn't that hard to quit, but now it's not just that it would be difficult for me, but it would be unreasonable and counterproductive because, you know, there are things that I really value about the internet. One of the first things I did when I got back on the internet is I bought my little brother an iPad mini, and he loves taking photos.
Yeah.
And he takes photos with it, and then they're connected to... iCloud, they go up into a photo stream, and then I can see them, and I can share them with the rest of my family. And that's such an internet thing, you know? And I don't want to, like, give them a film camera, like, hey, good luck developing this somewhere for $20, you know?
And putting it in a book. And
So, like, I love the internet and its conveniences, and especially the ways it, you know, brings me closer to other people. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know... very entertaining. That's most of my time is spent being entertained by the internet now.
Okay, yeah, good. Yeah, me too. But do you have a tip for people who are nearly on this edge between I'm not sure about my behavior, my usage behavior on the internet, and what should these people in your I got the word.
My opinion?
Yeah, on your opinion, what should they do?
I would say just figure out what your priorities are, what you want to accomplish, and what you want to be doing, and who you want to be and how you want to be, and figure out when and where internet usage is helpful with that, and when and where it's not. Mm. And, you know, if I'm sitting down dinner with a friend, internet is not helpful in that situation unless we're resolving some debate and we need Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but even then, I do not need to be checking my email or Twitter. Those things are very irrelevant and they're a very low priority at that point. And it's easy to get in this habit that you have to check everything, you have to keep up with everything. But that's counter to what your real goal in that moment is, which is to connect to that person. If you are sitting home alone, and you wish you could get a hold of that person, but they're not picking up the phone, then you should probably email them. You know, like there's wonderful times where the internet is exactly what's going to complete that goal.
Yeah.
I think what's easy to do is just get into habits of internet usage that sort of run over your other priorities in life. It's just so easy to get used to checking email so often that you're checking it at very inappropriate times, just because that's a stronger habit than other habits you might have formed for being with people or whatever you're trying to accomplish. And, you know, a lot of people, maybe most of what they need to accomplish is on the internet. It's just knowing what is and what isn't, and where the internet is powerful and where it can be a distraction or a waste of time.
Yeah. But isn't it a little bit ironic, though, that we are so focused on checking our emails several times on an hour, also when we are talking to people or at dinner? Alexander spoke about the app OffTime, which he's developing in Berlin. Yeah. Do you think it's kind of way to get used to this with technique to fight technique? So, or is it just a mindset?
How does OffTime work?
I'm not exactly sure about how is it exactly, but so it maybe get an app which helps your algorithm to learn from your behavior when you work and when you're when emails are you disrupting you, and the app tries to manage the notifications and your phone calls so that your boss or your girlfriend gets through the barrier and other phone calls which are not so important. Not so a little bit way ahead from the iPhone silent mode.
Sure.
Yeah. So
I think something like that could be very helpful, very, very useful, and I do hope that there's more technological innovation in the future towards making your devices more considerate of you and what you're trying to do. At the same time, and you know, again, it's what I learned, just that changing my circumstances didn't change me, is that any real change, it's kind of has to come from within. It really has to be a personal desire and decision of what you want to be doing and what your priority is right then, because it's just too easy for a distraction, as at least for me, it's too easy for a distraction to slip in and sort of hijack what I wanted to be doing. And so it's just, there has to be some sort of internal strong motivation that makes you value the thing that you least say you value in practice, and not just because I think that's the thing. It's like, you know, if you were at a high level great romantic conversation with your wife to be, you're not gonna look at your email in the middle of that, you know, like, so like obviously at some point you do have priorities that are going to take you away from the internet. It's extending that benefit to other people and other parts of your life.
But there was just a study that American teenagers used your 7% of American teenagers use your phone while sex.
Well, that's disturbing.
Yeah,
that's,
it's totally.
That's really, that's sad. There's this thing called FOMO, fear of missing out. I don't know if you've heard of that.
No.
It's FOMO, F-O-M-O. You can become very conditioned to, no matter what you're doing, thinking or worrying that there might be something better happening somewhere else.
And, that's a big.
And so it was very valuable to me to decide that I didn't know what I was missing out on, and I was okay with missing out. That's something I just had to determine and tell myself very clearly, like, yes, you know, I'm at this event and people are tweeting and somebody just took a picture of me and I know they're putting it on Instagram and I want to see how I looked. But I'm not going to see how I looked because I can't. And I'm just going to be okay with that, and I'm going to try to enjoy the things that I have right now in front of me. And but that's a, it's a conscious decision, and that's something that, you know, no matter what sort of tricks you do, ultimately you have to decide that you're okay with missing out.
But that's the thing I recognize. It's very hard for many people to get used to it, to enjoy this part where are you just up to and just right now, and so don't look at Twitter or Facebook and think, oh, well, this party seems to be cooler than this where I am.
Right. No, I don't. That's the thing, is that I don't think any of this is easy. It's not easy for me after a year of practice. I'm back on the internet, and it's not that easy for me to...
How long are you back?
I got back May 1st, so what is it, August?
Yeah. Not so long.
May, July. Yeah, about 3 months.
Yeah.
And it's so. I guess in a way, I'm okay with missing out on email and Twitter and things like that. But I do spend a ton of my time just watching people play video games. I look at Twitch TV a lot, or I play video games myself. I spend just tons of time that's not really that valuable to me to have witnessed someone play video games, because guess what? There's always going to be another person playing video games the next day. So it's just a way of vegging out, and it's a way of wasting time, and it's, I can't hate on myself for every time I waste time. You know, it's fine to be entertained.
Sometimes it's very important to waste time.
I'm sure at some point, but I waste a little too much of it, and so that's just something that I haven't managed to find a balance for. And what I've realized, and what happens to me, is I will waste time on the internet, and I'll feel bad about it, and then I'll be frustrated at the people who want to do real things. As if they're like somehow imposing on me. Yeah. But if I start that day deciding I want to do real things with those people, then I don't even mind that I missed, you know, 4 hours of video game streams that day, you know?
Yeah.
I don't worry about what I was missing out on when I'm actually doing something.
Oh, that's quite near the process what Alexander talked about. So that social media or the internet gets more and more like fast food, so you are just so addicted to it.
When
I don't get this chocolate, or when I don't get to the internet,
this is actually I started to think about. I think junk food is a good way to talk about it, because junk food disguised as real food, but just overloaded with those things that are addictive. And I. There's something that's just subtle built into the very nature of the internet, in that you can click on a link and a new thing comes to you right away.
There are a few links.
But it's a great sensation to have that sort of power and control, to be able to click on something and you get a new cool thing right away.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it. I was at a coffee shop and I was 5 feet, maybe 2 meters, whatever you want to call it, away from the counter, and I wanted a refill for my coffee, so I needed to stand up and walk to the counter and ask for a refill. But I thought in that moment, what if I could click? What if I could click and get a refill? Yeah. And think about it. If you could click and get a refill, would you ever stand up and walk to the tower? And also, you'd probably drink 10 times as much coffee,
because
you could get that instant refill all the time. And so there's something so powerful and alluring of just the basic structure of the internet about clicking and being given something immediately and getting that instant gratification. And, you know, when your internet starts acting up, your phone signal's bad, and so the web page starts to load. It looks like it's loading, but then it doesn't load, and you get so pissed. You should have this Wikipedia page. This is yours, and you earned it, and you pay your cell phone bill, and you... You know, like, it's so frustrating when you don't get it, but, like, you know... If I have to wait in line because there's another person ordering their coffee before me, I don't start throwing chairs, you know? So it's there is something about that that's just, it's so powerful. That, and that's one of those things I don't know how we solve that, unless we just make everything in our lives that immediate, and so it's not special anymore. But I have no idea how you handle how powerful that is for your brain.
Yeah, I think many, many people actually even don't recognize how powerful this tool is, and can't imagine what we could do with it. But what's your opinion, in which way would the internet grow or gaps in the next year? So what's in its trend? I don't like the word trend or but what's on your mind when you're thinking about the future of the internet and the question from today's TED Talk, are we connected?
I think we are connected in a lot of really great ways, and I think you're just, there's just always going to be a give and take. You get a new technology and it's very enabling in some ways, and it's disabling in other ways, you know. And you get an elevator, but then you get less exercise on the stairs, you know. And but it's good to have an elevator. So I think we're at a very immature state with our etiquette on the internet. And I hope we start to learn how to be nicer to each other in the way we use email and text messages, and we demand less of each other.
Yeah.
Because if I'm sitting here, I don't want to receive a text message that really asks a lot of me or has to pull me out of this situation. I do want to receive an important text message from a loved one or telling me something cool or whatever, but... And same with emails. I think we try to do a little too much with email. Things, you know, conversations that get out of control on email that could be much better figured out over a quick Skype call or something, a quick conference call. So I think there's little things that we're doing wrong, and we're being inconsiderate of each other when we send our outgoing messages, and those are the same things that we find frustrating when they are incoming messages to us. And so that's probably a good way to diagnose what's going wrong. And I hope that we just get smarter about that and more practiced as a society and culture, and I think these things could be less painful to us. I mean, if you think about when we got cars, we didn't have the two-lane highway system. You know, and it was a big pain to drive off in the ditch to let somebody go past you in the other direction. So I really hope that we're just at this immature point, and we'll get much better at it in some ways, but I'm sure we'll discover new problems along the way.
Sorry, did that?
I'm sure we'll discover new problems along the way.
That's what daily pop up as new problems here. Okay, cool. Yeah, thanks for your time and the speech.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's get connected.
Let's do it. Email every day.
Yeah.